Well, good morning. Welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. So glad to have you with us, to have this time that we can continue to journey together through this season of Advent as we have been looking at the heart of Christmas. I'm glad to have you with us for this third Sunday of Advent as we're worshiping together. I have a list of announcements. That's all I can describe it as. So I'm going to get through them. I'm going to share them with us, and hopefully there's something that catches your eye for the coming weeks. First, just a reminder that we do have the Society of St. Andrew devotional books. We still have some available outside in the hallway and downstairs as well. We appreciate everyone who has sent some of those envelopes back in for us. If you want to make a donation to the Society of St. Andrews, you can make that check out to them and fill that envelope out and put it in the offering, and we will be sending those all together at the end of the season here. Also a reminder that back by popular demand, this coming Saturday, the 17th, we will have our live nativity out on the lawn. We'll do it right out on the front lawn like we did last year. We have those animals coming, and you'll be able to be out there and be among them. We may have a visit from Mary and Joseph in the nativity out there as we did last year, and it's just a fun evening. We'll have some treats available as well. If you'd like to join us, that will be from 6 to 7 out there on the lawn. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend, and come join us. It was a good time last year. Also, a reminder, for those that are in the Christmas program, if you want, you can come and be a part of the living nativity next Saturday, but we need you to stay after service today, especially because we only got one more rehearsal before our performance next Sunday. So if you're in that Christmas program, we can ask if you can stick around after service. We'll meet down front here and run through our program one time. And then next Sunday, I invite everyone to join us during worship for that performance. We have children young and old participating in it this year. It's been wonderful to be a part of. So we hope you can join us next Sunday for that. There's also a sign-up sheet downstairs for the Yahas. They're having their Christmas potluck. That's, for those who aren't aware, our Yahas are our young-at-heart adults. And they'll take you no matter what age you are. You can come and join them and be a part of that. It's on Monday, December 19th at noon. They're having that potluck, and there is a sign-up downstairs just so they have an idea of who's coming if you want to join them. And then finally, just a heads-up or reminder if you haven't heard, we do have our Christmas Eve services planned. We will be having three services, two of which will be here. The first one will be at 2 p.m., and that will be up at Leonard UMC. As you know, we also work with the Leonard Church up there, and if you can't make it in the evening, I invite you to join us at Leonard at 2 p.m. for the service up there. But then we'll be holding our two worship services here at Romeo at 7 and 10 p.m. So if you can make one of those, we'd love to have you. I hope you can join us for that. And a reminder that the following day, so Christmas Eve is on Saturday, which means Christmas morning, Christmas Day is Sunday this year. And we are going to gather for worship. We're going to have that time. I told you last week, come as you want. Come as you're comfortable. Wear your pajamas. Wear your favorite ugly Christmas sweater, whatever it might be. Come and join us for worship. We're going to have a worship on that Christmas morning. We'll be singing some songs and spending some time together. So I hope you can join us for that service. And then following that service on Christmas morning, we'll have a fellowship time, some time in the fellowship hall. But then at noon, we are going to be serving a Christmas dinner meal. And we'd like to invite anyone who would like to join us for that Christmas dinner meal that doesn't have other plans made to just stick around after church and join us for Christmas dinner. They're doing it his table style, I guess we're calling it, that they're having the food prepared and we'll be down there available for us to have. So if you would like to join us for that, they do have a sign up downstairs just so we can make sure we have enough food. We have supplies for everyone, but that is our schedule for the coming weeks. There is a lot going on. If you have any questions or anything, you can, of course, contact the church office and Shelley will help you fill in any blanks of anything I might have skipped over or went too fast. But those are the activities, and it's fun to see, fun to be a part of all those things, and I'm glad that we have them going on. But this morning, we're here to worship, and so we're going to worship our Lord. And I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we start our time of worship for our opening hymn. It's number 224, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Please stand with me as we sing number 224. couldn't remember if there was a fourth verse or not. Will you join me for this word of opening prayer? We praise you, O God, for being not only the God of history, but you are the God of our story. You have gathered us here today to remind us that although you are the one to whom all power belongs, you still take time to care for us, to care for us in this world, for those who are feeling weak and powerless. You are the Lord of love, and you care for us all. We praise you for joining your story to ours in such a special way through Jesus Christ our Lord. He proved his great love for you and for each person in the way he lived his life, releasing what was captive, lifting up the burdened, empowering the powerless. So let us give praises with joyful hearts to the ongoing story of your love for all of creation. We pray this today, as always, in Christ's holy name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning comes to us from Romans. It's Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it can be found in the New Testament on page 146. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This ends our first reading for today. And this time I'd like to invite Steve and Nancy Domke forward as they'll be lighting our Advent candle this morning.
First Advent reading comes from Isaiah chapter 35, various verses. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
The prophet Isaiah tells us about the joy of ascending to God's house. The prophet tells us to imagine being set free, being unburdened, being released to live, to fully live in the grace and wonder of life itself, surrounded by those who love us like no one else. And then he tells us that the journey to get there is just as much a joy.
The second Advent reading comes from Psalm 146. The psalmist says, "Happy are these whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith, who executes justice, gives food, sets prisoners free, opens eyes, lifts up, watches over, upholds. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord."
We light these candles, the candle of joyous hope. I'll wait until he gets it. That's the hope. I've proclaimed peace. And of deep and everlasting joy. As a sign that we are those who walk with a skip in our step, because we can see the destination, and it is pure joy. We are ascending to God's promise.
Thank you, Steve and Nancy, for helping us with lighting our candles here today. And in your bulletins, it says we're going to the children's time, but before we get there, we have some special music that was prepared for us. I didn't have it in the bulletin, but Young has graciously prepared something for us, so I invite you to hear our special music here this morning. Thank you so much for that. And at this time, I'd like to welcome our children or youth and students who'd like to come forward to join me on the steps.
What's that?
You take it. Some others sneaking in here too. We'll let them make their way. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys doing today? Oh my. That was a pretty dud response, if I may say so myself. If I got that response from the congregation, I'd make them do it again. So I'm going to make you do it again. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing this morning? That was still only congregation. Can we help them out? Good morning, boys and girls. How are we doing this morning? Yeah. There we go. A little bit of energy, a little bit of life in this place. Well, I'm with you. I get it that it's getting to be that time of year that skies are a little grayer. It's a little colder out there. It might feel a little bit ugh. But we also know that there's something coming in just a couple weeks, right? You know what day's coming in a couple weeks? Christmas, that's right. Isn't that a reason to be a little excited? And your birthday's almost coming? Well, that's definitely a reason to be excited, too. Lots of reasons to be excited. And do you guys have a favorite thing about this time of year? Like, I mean, okay, that's a silly question. I know presents are coming at Christmas. Besides the presents, do you have something that you really like, something that's your favorite thing about this time of year? What's your favorite thing, Michael?
All the food and donuts and stuffing.
Food, donuts, and stuffing. That sounds like... three winners in my book. I'm with you, my friend. What, Eddie? Mashed potatoes, all right. You're forgetting yours? All right. What's your favorite thing, Grace? Hanging up the decorations? Absolutely. What about you, John? You like the presents. Hey, nothing wrong with that. I was kind of thinking, I'm with Grace, that hanging up those decorations and then going and driving through town and seeing all those lights that, I mean, when you go down Main Street, now it's all lit up with Christmas lights, and you go into the neighborhoods and drive through, you get to see all those beautiful lights that are hung up in the decorations. And you saw our lights? Well, good. I'm glad you saw them. That was quite a day getting those all up out there, so I'm glad you got to enjoy them. But it is one of the fun things we get to do is to see all those decorations and those lights. And, you know, I was actually thinking about going around town and seeing those lights because we actually have some members of our church, some people who have been members here for a long, long time in some cases, that they're not able to get out and see some of those decorations. The term we use is they're shut in or they're unable to leave their house a whole lot to get out and do those type of things. And so I was wondering if maybe you boys and girls could help me out with a little project. I was wondering if this week, could all of you make one, maybe two cards and draw your favorite Christmas scene on the front, maybe a picture of a house with lights or Christmas trees or wreaths or whatever it might be, but could everyone make a Christmas card for me and bring it next week? Because then the following week, I'm going to have us send those to all of our shut-ins, those members who can't get out and can't see those Christmas decorations and lights for themselves. So if everybody could make me one Christmas card, maybe two if you get real creative and you're really into it, but could you make me a couple of Christmas lights this week? Do you think you could do that? Make a picture of a hot chocolate. That's fabulous. That'd be a wonderful one. But if you guys could all do that and you bring them to me next week, I'd really appreciate it. I want to be able to send them to some of our church members and friends. So you guys think you can help me with that? We'll spread a little bit of Christmas joy in the decorations. Does that sound good? Everyone make me a light, a Christmas candle, a Christmas card. Moms, dads, hold them accountable. Make them those Christmas cards, all right? Can you guys do that? All right. Well, I'd appreciate it. And I think our church members really appreciate seeing some of those cool decorations too. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys, and I hope you have a good couple weeks here leading up to Christmas as you get to see those decorations and have those fun gatherings and parties and food, the important part. I hope you get to enjoy all that time. So before you head back and have Odyssey with Ms. Hosler, I'm going to go ahead and say a word of prayer for us, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for this time, Lord. We give you thanks for all those things in this season that do bring us joy, whatever it might be, the presents, the food and the time with family, the getting to see the decorations all around town. We give you thanks for all those things. But Lord, you know, most of all, we give you thanks for Jesus. We give you thanks that he came to live amongst us, that he came to show us what it means to truly love others, to care for them, to help them in their times of need. So Lord, we give you thanks for the chance to experience that, to hear that story anew, to remember how much you love us as you come into this world. So be with us this day, we pray. Be with each of these boys and girls. And we look forward to celebrating you on Christmas. For we pray this as always in your holy name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up and spending some time with me. And you're welcome to head back to Odyssey here. I'll see you a little later. Thank you, guys. We take this time in worship each Sunday to recognize those joys, those celebrations we have, as well as the concerns and needs from our church family and from our community and world. And I have a number to share with us here this morning as we start, so let me share these. First, I wanted to note that we had a wonderful celebration of life yesterday. We were able to celebrate Lou Benani's life. The couple of flower arrangements you see up here were a part of that service yesterday. It was a wonderful time, and the family expressed to me as they were leaving yesterday their sincere gratitude to everyone from the church that has sent a card, made a call, stopped for a visit during Lou's final weeks here, all the support that they've had, and for the preparations for the meal and everything that happened yesterday. They wanted to express their sincere appreciation, so thank you all for being the church and showing up and supporting the family. Also asking for prayers for Marilyn Bracey. She had a procedure on her knee and is at Wellbridge recovering and receiving therapy. When I spoke with her this week, she said it's a little slower going than she would like, but I think that's always the case, isn't it? But she is doing well and receiving her therapy and hopes to be back up and moving here real soon. I also wanted to just lift up, I've gotten calls or heard messages from several members of the congregation that are dealing with COVID tests, positive tests, or some of those other things that are going around right now. Ed Buckner, Gwen Beskin, Naomi Stasek, I've heard from, and I know there are others who are dealing with some of those illnesses. So just keeping all of them in our prayers for strength and that those symptoms go away quickly here and that they're able to be back amongst us. And Dory Hill sent a message this morning on the chat and had sent it this week asking for prayers for her sister Judy. She had an extremely large mass removed from her lower bowel this week. Was happy that she didn't need a colostomy. And just asking for prayers that the lab results come back negative and that she's able to recover from her procedure and be back on her feet as well. And also prayers for B. Rosso, it's Brian Rosso's mother, who had to have surgery a little earlier this week from a broken hip. Prayers for her recovery and for her therapy to go well for as she begins to recover from that. And just this morning, Beth sent in a request asking for prayers for her mother-in-law, Linda. She was taken to the hospital this morning because she is having a stroke. So we lift up Linda. Beth Silva is asking for prayers. That'd be for Linda Zimmerman, asking for prayers for her as she was taken, transported this morning. Prayers that they're able to see to her needs in this time. And those were the ones that were shared with me and sent here today. If anyone has others, Nathan has a microphone and Phil does as well. Please feel free to raise your hand and catch their eye. They'll bring a microphone to you. They're coming at you from two directions, Marty. Let's see who gets there first.
Yeah, I would just, with all the sickness that's going around, you know, I don't know if this is right or not, but I think it is. Thank you, Lord, for Mucinex. God bless you. And I just want to say thank you to our pastor, Pastor Devin Smith, who puts up with so much and does so much that the Lord God would strengthen you and keep you and your family in good health and give you the strength to do what he has given you to do.
Amen. Thank you, Marty. I appreciate that. And I didn't mention Karen. Prayers for Karen as well. As I know you said she had a little something going too. So thank you, though, Marty.
Yes, prayers for Julie's parents. They both got COVID this week, and they're struggling, as you know, everyone has been, as well as her sister. So prayers for them out in Hershey.
Absolutely. Prayers for Julie's parents and a sister.
Get better.
Absolutely. Let those mild symptoms pass and get back on their feet and moving again. Thank you, Guy.
Continue prayer for the Carrolls and Beth Eisen.
Prayers for the Carrolls and for Beth as well. Thank you, Nathan. Absolutely. Are there any others this morning? Well, then let us take these that have been shared with us, those that we've heard here this morning, but also those that we know of, those in our families, our coworkers, neighbors, friends. Let us lift those situations and people in this moment of silent prayer before our God. God of hope, God of encouragement, we come to you in the midst of this season of busyness and preparations. Lord, we come to find a time and a space to slow down a little. We come to find a place that we can reflect on what our true preparations should be. We know we need to prepare our hearts to receive the gifts of love and hope. We need to prepare our minds to focus on your promise that a Messiah will come and nothing nothing will be the same. Lord, we need to prepare our spirits to praise you for the prophecy, the promises, and the preparation to find hope and encouragement, to find peace and joy. Lord, we thank you for this time. Time to be in your presence. Time to be in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, you have heard those names and situations spoken here today. Lord, we know you have heard those that we have offered before you in our hearts and minds as well. In this season, we pray for those who are searching or hurting or feeling lost and alone, that each of us, each of them may encounter your presence, whether it be through the actions of a kind stranger, or perhaps it might be a moment of divine inspiration. We pray that all who are in need in this season will have the opportunity to be reminded of the greatest gift ever given, the gift that is still freely given, the gift of your love and your grace. We are thankful for the chance to be reminded of that deep, unending love this day. And Lord, as we revel in the experience, we join our voices together. We join them to share in this prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to make one clarification just so I don't leave you confused. I apologize. The prayer request from Beth Sova is asking for prayers for her mother-in-law, Linda Sova, not for Linda Zimmerman. So prayers for Linda Sova. I just want to make sure I didn't leave you all from this place wondering. So we do lift up Linda Sova in this time as they're seeing to her needs. I'll invite you now, though, to join me in singing our next hymn. It will be number 218. It came upon a midnight clear. Please stand with me as you're able to sing hymn number 218. You may please be seated. As you are, I take this moment in worship. We take this time just to recognize, to remember the generous giving, the generous offering of so many. We continue to give thanks for all those missions and ministries we're able to support. I was able to speak with the individuals down at the Samaritan House, and they were so thankful for the sharing tree gifts that were brought in. They were doing their distribution this weekend, getting all that prepped. And I saw the picture. There was a lot of presence in that room, my friends. So thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for helping share that, spread that joy, spread that happiness a little bit in our community here. And for all the other missions we're able to support, we do have the offering box on the organ, of course, if you wish to drop an offering here today, or our online giving is available at romeoumc.com. But let us take this moment to give our thanks and recognize the offering was brought here today. Generous God, as we bring our gifts to you this day, we acknowledge that we've been given so much by your goodness. But we also acknowledge, Lord, that we've not always been so quick to give that help to serve others. In this Advent season of preparation, we ask you to help us live in a new way, to walk a new highway, to set ourselves on the path that leads to a closer walk with Jesus, the one who is our example and our Redeemer. May this be the season when we find the highways in our hearts that lead to him, that prepare us for his coming. For Lord, we pray this in the name that is above all other names. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today comes to us from John's Gospel. It's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The words will be on the screens, and they can also be found in the New Testament on page 87 in your pew Bibles. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I know I mentioned it when I was up here with the children a little bit ago, but can anyone else believe it's already December 11th? I did a double or a triple take as I looked at my calendar as I was making my notes for service that I had to write down December 11th. We're T-minus 14 days from Christmas at this point. There's so much to do, so many preparations to make. To all of you who are waiting for my order of worship for Christmas Eve, I'm sorry, I meant to have it to you already, but it's just snuck up on me. But that makes today the third Sunday of Advent. And we're going to continue our Advent sermon series here, The Heart of Christmas. We've been taking time in this season to look at the gifts, not the gifts under the tree, but the gifts sent to us by our God, by our Creator, the gifts sent to us through the birth of Jesus Christ, to remind ourselves that Jesus was born to bring those gifts of hope and peace and joy and love. And we spent some time that first Sunday recognizing the hope that was offered through Jesus' birth, the hope we can have in all of life's circumstances because of God's faithfulness. God has made good on his promises, and God will continue to make good on those promises. And last week we looked at what the wonderful gift of peace looks like in Jesus Christ, the peace made available to us through his birth, his life, and his sacrifice. And then this week, we'll be moving on to another piece of the heart of Jesus, the heart of Christmas. As the Domkey shared with us as they lit the candle, we will be looking at the joy made possible in all circumstances. And as we start this journey into God's joy, I have a few different scenarios or situations I wanted to share with you. And as I list them out, if these situations or scenarios, if it's something that would bring joy into your day, into your life, just raise your hand. Let me see if it's something that you would find joy in that situation. Will you do that with me here? Here's the first one. While you're out running errands and picking up presents, you pull into your favorite coffee shop's drive-thru. You make that order, and when you pull up to the window, you discover that the car in front of you has paid for that favorite drink. Is that something that's going to bring you? Some of those hands went up pretty quick. Yeah, is that something that's going to bring you joy? It's going to bring me joy. It's also going to make me wish I'd ordered the large coffee, but... All right, so that's our first one. How about the second one, then? You wake up and you look out your window to find a beautiful landscape of snow stretching in all directions, glistening and twinkling and fresh and beautiful. Is that something that's going to bring you joy? Most of us, yeah. It might bring joy for a minute till you realize you got to go out and scrape that car and shovel that driveway, but... I think it's a pretty joyful thing. All right, last one then. You managed to pull it off this year. You have successfully watered your Christmas tree all month long. It's still beautiful on Christmas morning. No dried needles dropping all over your floor. You have that perfect Christmas tree for Christmas morning. Is that something that's going to bring you some joy? I'm guessing some of you not raising are like us in this sanctuary here, and we have a fake tree, so we don't have to worry about the watering. But that is something that could bring joy, having that beautiful tree on Christmas morning. It looked like some of you could find joy in some of those situations, just as I could. Those are reasons to celebrate, reason to be joyful. But it's also why I wanted to spend a little time focusing on joy this week. Sorry, I'm starting to crackle. There we go. It's why I wanted to spend this time looking at joy this week. Because there are different joys in our world. And often joy that we relate, that we equate in this world, it's reflective of the scenarios we just heard. Often joy in our life is based on the circumstances we find ourselves in, the circumstances surrounding us in our lives. When things are going well, things are going good, we get a free coffee, we see that beautiful landscape of snow before us, we see our beautiful Christmas tree. The circumstances that are at play around us bring joy into our lives. But then conversely, when things are going poorly, when things are not going the way we want, we start to feel bad. We start to feel sad. Our joy can ebb and flow when it's based on the circumstances around us. But I truly believe that's the difference in the joy that Jesus brought to us on that first Christmas morning, that gift that was brought. Jesus' joy is a joy that does not have to fluctuate with the circumstances around us, with our environment, but it's rather one that can be experienced in any and all circumstances. It is a joy that does not change. In the scripture I just read from John a few minutes ago, it gives us a different perspective on the birth of Jesus. It's not often the version that's used for Christmas programs or children's plays because it's a very different telling of that birth. It doesn't contain some of those common images that we equate with Christmas, with Jesus' birth. We don't see the shepherds, we don't see the wise men, the manger aren't present in that telling from John's gospel. Instead, John, he took a much more big picture explanation in his telling of that birth, of what took place in Bethlehem. He actually ties it back to the very creation of the world, to the beginning of time. And he tells us this good news. He tells us it in a different way. But in verse 14, can you put that up there for us, Heidi? In verse 14, he tells us that good news again when he says, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Our theological, or the big churchy word that we'd use in my seminary classes and when I get together with us, my fellow clergy, we got to use those big fancy words to impress one another. The big fancy word we'd use to describe what John is talking about here is incarnation. It is the word that comes from the Latin carne, which means flesh. The incarnation was God literally putting on flesh and coming to walk and live and be among us. John reminds us that this God, it was the very same God who was present at the creation of the world, that brought forth all life into the world. It is this God who is coming as the Word of truth to live among us. He came to embody all the contents, all the elements of those scriptures that we have, to show us the way to live our lives here on earth. When Jesus was born in that manger, it was God coming to live among us. Emmanuel. God with us. And this telling of the incarnation from John's gospel, it gives us two reasons for a joy that surpasses all of our understanding, a joy that does not change with the seasons, that does not change with the circumstances. It can be a constant in our lives. It can be a grounding in our lives to keep us centered in the face of all that the world has to offer and challenge us with. And first, I believe we can have this never-ending joy because God chose to come to us. God chose to come where we were, as we were. God didn't ask for anything else. God came to us. And it's an important note in the incarnation story because there's this common misconception that often gets floated around out there, and it's one that people have had for generations, that to be in relationship with God, we have to do something. We must work hard. We must work to make sure we're perfect in order for God to want to be in relationship with us, that through our own efforts we can form this relationship with God. But that's not what God told us. That's not what took place on that first Christmas morning. God came to us where we were. And one of the greatest thieves of joy in our lives can be that thinking that we're never good enough, thinking that we're not doing enough. Because we are broken and flawed individuals, each and every one of us. Each of us have been hurt, and unfortunately, each of us have hurt someone else in our lives. We make mistakes. At times, we are selfish. We don't choose the right path. If we were to rely on our own abilities, our own trust, our own understanding to make that connection with God, we would never get there. And God knew it. God knew that we couldn't do it on our own. So God came to us instead. I was reading a journal that I get, that I regularly peruse. It's called the Discipleship Journal. And in it this week, or this month, Paul Thigpen wrote about an encounter he had with his daughter. And this is what he wrote. "I remember coming home one afternoon to discover that the kitchen that I had worked so hard to clean just hours before was a terrible wreck. My young daughter had obviously been busy baking, and the ingredients were scattered along with the dirty bowls, utensils, the counters, the floor, the sink. They were everywhere. I was not happy as I took in the situation before me. Then as I looked a little more closely at the mess, I spied a tiny handwritten note tucked in among all those utensils, written on my daughter's favorite stationery. Clumsily written and smeared with chocolatey fingerprints, it said, "I'm making something for you, Dad." And it was signed, "Your Angel." In the midst of that disarray and mess, and despite my initial irritation, joy suddenly sprang up in my heart. It was sweet and it was pure. My attention had been redirected from the problem that was before me to the little girl that I loved so dearly. As I encountered her in that brief note, I delighted in her. With the simple goodness in focus, I could take pleasure in seeing her hard work, her hand at work in that situation that otherwise seemed disastrous. You know, as I read Mr. Thigpen's experience, I could relate. Maybe some of you have seen a similar mess. But Mr. Thigpen's experience is also very similar to the joy we can find in God. Because many times, life, it can look like a messy disaster through our initial perspective as we first see the situation. It can be hard for us to find reasons for joy in the circumstances that are often found around us. However, if we look a little closer, we might just see that little handwritten note. We might see God coming near to us like he did on that first Christmas morning to let us know that he is making something of our lives. He is doing something. He is present in those moments when we otherwise might want to feel hopeless. Joy is at the heart of Christmas because knowing that we could never make it to him, God came to us. It is one of the truly unique attributes of Christianity when you look at it, when we compare it to all other world religions. I know Irlene has spent some time with her Bible study on Tuesdays looking at those other world religions. But it is one of the unique things about Christianity that God has taken action and done what is necessary to unite with humanity. God came to us. We saw this reminder. It was talked about in Paul's letter to the Romans as well. He emphatically wrote to them, "But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Unlike the big guy who calls the North Pole home, Paul reminds us that there are no lists being kept by God. There is no naughty list. There is no nice list that God is keeping score with. We don't earn our way onto God's list. We don't earn those gifts from God. God has already freely given them. The gift of God's grace is offered to us generously without any price that we have to pay. Because frankly, it's a price we could never pay on our own. Remember that statement that Paul made. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is why those other tellings of the Christmas story, why they contain so much excitement and so much joy. Why those characters that we read about that we're so familiar with have so much joy. Mary and Joseph, Zechariah and Elizabeth, the shepherds in the field, Simeon in the temple, those wise men who came to visit. They have joy. They felt a wave of joy that was unlike anything they'd ever experienced. It was indescribable because that long-awaited Messiah had finally come, had come where they were, had brought what they needed, and had come without price. Without asking for anything, the Messiah had come to rescue us. We have this reason to be joyful. And the second reason we can find joy, why it can be a constant reality for us, is how much God loves us, how much he shows us that love, and how committed God is to our transformation in the power of this love. And what I mean by that is this, is that God loves us just as we are. He wouldn't have come. He wouldn't have done what he did if he didn't. God loves us just as we are. But God also loves us too much to leave us that way. God doesn't want to leave us as we are, the broken, sinful creatures that we are. And that is the key to understanding the unabiding, unending joy of Christ. When Jesus came to us, he was full of grace. He came to bring that grace into the world. The grace that John writes about in the original Greek is from the word charis. It means favor, kindness, a gift of blessing that is undeserved. Just as we share those wrapped gifts that are underneath our trees, and it brings joys to share those gifts, that is the gift that Christ brought, a gift of grace freely given. It's a grace that can only be received from God. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. But God has offered it to us anyway. It is a gift. And when we recognize it, it can fill us with a joy like no other. It's a reminder that God does love us just the way we are. But it's also a reminder that while Jesus came to give us that unearned grace, that unearned joy, we're also told in the scriptures that Jesus came full of truth. And the word that John uses here is aletheia, which means the divine reality revealed to man, a straightforwardness in the teachings. Jesus came holding grace in one hand, grace that allows us to be accepted into God's family. But in the other hand, he came holding truth, the truth that he wanted to share with the world, the truth that shows us the areas of our lives that are in need of transformation and change. Jesus brought this truth because he wants us to live our lives to the fullest way possible. And it's in this acknowledgement that Christ brings both grace and truth that we can realize that the one true result of that grace is joy. It's a joy we can know and experience, even on our difficult days. Grace is a word that shows up in the church a lot. If you look into the history of the Methodist Church and John Wesley, he talked about grace a lot. He had a lot to say, and I could spend a month just preaching about the different graces that John Wesley talked about. But that's because it's important for us to recognize that grace. It's important for us to be able to live with that grace, to live with that joy in our lives. Because our Heavenly Father did send his only Son to that manger in Bethlehem because he wanted to dwell amongst us. He wanted to demonstrate for us the amazing grace and the life-changing truth that is possible when we know the Father's love. And we can experience joy in any and all circumstances because we are confident in knowing that God is with us and God is for us. And the late pastor Charles Spurgeon said it this way: there is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste. It is comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. While it might be true that one deplorable spirit brings a kind of plague into the house, or one person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes, but know this, the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. Holy joy can change the world. Pastor Spurgeon hits right to the heart of the matter. The way we choose to live matters. If we choose to live as those who carry negativity and pessimism, if that's how we live our lives, that is what we will share with others that we encounter. That is what we will share with the world. But if we choose to live as those who have experience, those who know, those who have it in their very soul, the deep and abiding grace and joy of our Heavenly Father, then that, my friends, is what we will share. That is what we will pass on to others. My hope, my prayer for all of us is that in this Advent season, in this Christmas season, we may come to find, we may come to know the true heart of Christmas. And in that place, we will experience that deep and abiding joy. The love of our Heavenly Father made known to us through the birth of a child, the coming of our Messiah. It is the truth. It is the grace. It is the joy that is sent for all of us. It has the power to truly change lives. It can change you. It can change me. can change the world. And it was sent for each of us. So let us know that joy in our hearts today. Let us know it always, and let us live it in our lives. Amen.
Let's stand if you're able for our last song. I too went through the COVID, and the sore throat and the coughing just seems to hang on forever. So with that, I'll do the best I can.
To the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. What fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Unspeakable joy of the flowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy rises in my soul, never lets me go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. And wonders, wonders of His love. Joy, unspeakable joy, love is flowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy rises in my soul, and never lets me go.
My friends, let us go this day. Let us go to prepare the way of the Lord. Let us go with joy in our souls. Let us go as people who know that hope, peace, joy, and love of our Lord. Let us go as those who know God's blessing and carry it with them each and every day. Go in peace. Amen.